Hello, y'all. This is Skunkeen, the new Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master of the Year on Neverwinter Connections, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Greetings and well met. I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
Welcome to episode 44 of the Neverwinter Nights podcast. In this episode, we have an awesome interview with Skunkeen, the Neverwinter Connections 2007 Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master, and the DM Hall of Fame inductee for April in 2007.
Some news regarding the pending releases of Mysteries of Westgate, a Neverwinter Night 2 adventure pack from Ossian Studios, and of course, some playful banter from the Cat Herd. Was it that? Is that something that shouldn't have been read?
No, that was put in there on purpose. So, what have you been up to lately? I understand you've been hacking through some modules.
Yes, I have played. Actually, I've played 3 modules in the last. Well, no, that's actually not true. I've played 6 modules in the last couple of weeks. Jumping back, kind of time warping to Neverwinter Nights 1, and I played, you know, I have it bookmarked right here, a series that I apparently missed in my Neverwinter Nights scrounging for modules to play, and it was Celeron's Gambit, part 1, 2, and 3, and I am on part 4 now, and it is a phenomenal series. It is Neverwinter Nights 1, and it is done by Tiberius, who is also part of Ossian Studios, from what I can tell. It's tagged on his...
very interesting.
Yeah, it's tagged on his avatar, so... And it appears he's also has a Neverwinter Nights 2 module coming out soon, but I don't see a name for it. I have also played, and I'm going to do a little mod spotlight improv here, Winds of Change by L.E.S., and that's L-E-E-L-L-Y underscore S. Her module has 13 votes on it now. It's at 8.5. It's single-player module. And it is based off the Warhammer Fantasy series, which I personally did not know anything about it, but I played the module completely unaware of what it was based off of. I absolutely loved the story. Very twisted, a bit dark, some great bantering. Characters are very rich and very interesting. They have very interesting characteristics and personalities. And it is rated mature, I believe. Has some pretty decent role-playing. It's good. Very story-driven, but she did this on purpose. I think it was to set up, because she is doing a sequel to the story.
And so you think this is a setup for her sequel?
Right. And this is her very first module put out. It ran flawlessly for me. I never had a bug. I never had a problem. Some of the battles were a little overpowering. However, well, we all know how to get through those if they seem impossible. And I don't have to go any further than that.
Except for me and Trey. We struggle with that, but that's okay.
No, actually, I got Trey to, you know, figure out how to go through that without, you know, he's finally actually getting through the OC. He is nearing towards the end of part 3, of Act 3.
I'm still at the end of part 1, or act 1, so I need to get back on it. But, well, that kind of brings me into what I've got going on. I have, sitting over here, hopefully the solution to my video card problem. I have a new GeForce 8600 GT video card with a 512 megs of DDR3 RAM on it, and I will be installing that in this next week, and I'm hoping that that will solve some of the rendering issues I've been having with some of the games I've been trying to play. It's also been causing... I think it's my video card that's been causing some of these games to crash while I'm playing. So once that's over with, maybe I will be able to actually get back in and play some. So I'm looking forward to getting that installed.
Here's another exciting bit of news. 164 downloads away from hitting the Hall of Fame for Harp and Chrysanthemum, Zach Hallbrook's release in December 2007. In just 2 months, he is 164 downloads away from Hall of Fame.
That is awesome.
Isn't that great? I mean, his module just flew like fire.
I haven't played that one yet. I haven't downloaded it, but I did download Dave Etasurf's module, Jack and the Beanstalk. For some reason, my mind just went blank at the moment. I was like, but yeah, I did download it. Sorry, Dave. I have downloaded that, and my daughter unfortunately got grounded from TV and computers and everything else, or we would have been playing it last weekend. So we're going to have to wait till this weekend so she can get ungrounded so we can play it.
I did play it. It was very cute. And there's little things for kids to do, and I'm not going to... You really need to take your little one, if you got a little one, at the age appropriate for the whole fairy tale stories, because there are some really cute things for them to do in the module. But it is very cute.
On the other side, so talking about other modules we've talked about, you introduced me to a module, and I think we mentioned this in a previous episode. There's a Seaside series of modules for Neverwinter Nights 2 that are set up to be multiplayer.
Yes.
We're going to create a game night, and I'm going to organize that on Neverwinter Nights Connections, but it will probably be invite only for a while because we want to keep the group slow or to a small amount, you know, 4 or 5 players. That's kind of what these modules are good for. But they're 1.5, 2 hour plays per module, and he's released them in a series of 5 modules. So I think it'll be fun. So we'll be able to run through
those.
Actually,
it's 6.
6? Well, I'm missing one of them then. So yeah, I thought it might have been 6, but. We're going to be running through those and see how those go. These are some of the first modules I think this person has released. I can't remember
Roland.
His name. It's Roland. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it starts with Roland or Rankine for some reason. I wanted to say Rankine, but Roland. And when I downloaded them, there weren't any ratings on them yet, so they were just fresh. So.
Right. They are recent. They're still, matter of fact, over half of them are still on the new modules list.
Yeah. He released them all at once. I guess he right. waited until he had them how he wanted them and then put them all out. So exactly what I was looking for, because I haven't been able to, because of a busy schedule, to get some time to actually sit down and game. So this, I can do an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. So these are going to be perfect, I hope. So. I did also want to mention, we got an interesting post in our forums. If you guys haven't been checking that out, check out our forums. A new listener, Drake Flair, has commented about the show and announced that he has a Neverwinter Nights 2 project going on, and he's in need of some scripters and area designers. He didn't go into the great details of what exactly the world was going to be like, but he did give some indication that it's going to be, and I quote, hardcore roleplay action story where we will try to keep levels more roleplay than Uberstats rate. Anyways, the story will be basically two sides war. Let's have some cliche as good versus evil here. So it sounds like he's going to have some fun with it. And I just want to bring that up. So I appreciate, Drake, your comments. And I wanted to get your word out in case there was someone interested in helping you. You can contact Drake by replying to the forums. And we'll have the show notes. I have the link to the forum post.
I do believe that he posted an update.
Oh. Well, let's
on the forums itself.
Yeah, so I suppose it could mention a few plans like adding.
We may have actually found our scripter.
Okay. Well, I'll just leave it at that and let them look at the forums post and they can get caught up on what he's got there.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Isn't it great? We're seeing a whole lot of projects popping up all over the place for Neverwinter Nights too.
Yes, it is. I'm excited about that.
And I'm excited about the 10th. On February 10th at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, U.S., Canada, we are going to have a live... A, yeah. Hey, we have some Canadians on the panel, so be nice.
I said that in as nice a tone as I could. Hey.
Anyway, you will need the latest version of Skype. You will have to go... Through Skypecast, we have a private link that is posted on all Neverwinter Nights 2 content forum sites. Several of the modders have it posted. We even have some modders that have posted it that aren't going to be on the panel out of, you know, kindness of their own hearts. And right here, all you have to do is hit that link when your Skype is up. It will take you right to the room. You will be muted if you have a headset and a mic, but you will get a chance to voice a question or a comment as we're able to do so. And there will be text chat also for those who don't want to use a headset mic.
There was a comment that Halloween Foxy had posted to that announcement that she could just hopefully find someone to voice for her, and I replied back to her and says, well, we'll have chat available as well if you can't. So.
Right. And there also, you guys will get to hear all the stuff that we typically edit.
Yeah. Or the stuff that Trey cuts out and puts on the end as bloopers.
Yeah. Bloopers live.
Why wait to hear them when you can hear them as they occur? Now, this is going to be a great roundtable. It's a great panel of people that have current modules in development, which is going to give us a kind of an interesting preview of to see what happens when these modules hit on the vault and kind of keep up with them and see how quickly they get to their stats and get their scores up.
Each module developer, I have had them create their three top most concerning questions, things that they truly want to discuss, and I will break them down to make sure that none of them overlap each other. And the guests who come in to listen to the show being recorded will also have a chance to ask questions or make comments. Aspiring modders, people who are just curious, come in, listen to us, make our bloopers, and have fun. I'm sure it's going to be an enjoyable night. We did do a test. I accidentally made the room public when me and Jay were testing it out.
Hell yeah.
50 people within a minute in that room, and we never lost sound quality. So it should turn out really well.
It was an international flood.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I had no idea what to do with these people.
So again, that's on the 10th on Sunday. And that's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the U.S.
Right.
Or GMT minus 5 for everybody else that wants to keep up with it.
Correct. In the U.K., that's, 5 hours ahead for you guys, and further over, 6 hours. I know we have some people. We actually have some. One of the panel members is in the U.K., another one is in Sweden, so they are going to be up at 1:30 and 2:30 in the morning to be on this panel.
I remember Trey and I staying up really late one night for an IRC chat for Thieves Guild for the European folks. So yeah,
the Midnight Madness chat.
Yep, that's right. Hey, do you remember the premium module program for Atari and BioWare? You know they had that for Neverwinter Nights 1, right?
I have every single one of them. Thank you.
Well, they've kind of revamped that. Now it's called the Adventure Pack.
Right.
And it's kind of a, I guess, I don't know if it's an homage to the D&D days, whenever you actually got the adventure pack, where it actually was the folders that were your adventure that you could go, your pre-made adventures you could do or not. I don't know, but that's kind of where I think it's coming from. Well, that first official adventure pack is called Mysteries of Westgate. And that's set to release in mid-March. And we got contacted by Osine Studios to do an interview with them. So we were going to have an interview in the next episode or an episode after that. We're working out the details of exactly the timing on that. We will have Alan Miranda as an interviewer. They said to me, good luck going, well, this is a we want you to interview one of our developers. And I said, great, that would be great. And they said, well, it's going to be Alan Miranda. So I started looking up everything. And, if you guys know anything about Alan Miranda, he's the head of the Osine Studios. He was a producer on one of the modules for the Neverwinter Nights 1. He's been involved with Neverwinter Nights from the get-go. So it's more than just a developer. So I think it's going to be a really exciting interview. We'll get all the lowdown skinny on what's coming up on the new adventure pack and from Mysteries of Westgate and where it's setting and what they're doing with it. So I think it'll be really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that one. I'm ready to download, the first adventure pack. I'm very excited about it. I own all the premium modules from Neverwinter Nights 1, and I'm sure I'm going to own all the adventure packs in Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, I plan on it as well, because, they're adding new content. Well, hopefully we're going to get some insight on what the new content is that's coming out with it. I do believe it is only going to be available as a digital download. I don't think they're going to. It's not. You don't be able to pick it up in a box anywhere until, of course, they get to like the Neverwinter Nights 2 Classic or Diamond or whatever they plan on doing that, and then it'll have all of that in there. but it's going to be a big thing for us. I think it's one of the first times for the podcast that we were actually contacted by Ocyan or Obsidian or somebody like that say, hey, we want you to do an interview for us. So I thought it was pretty cool. We're on our way.
I think we need a drum roll for this one. Neverwinter Nights 2 patch 1.12 will be going beta soon. Another patch.
That was the only news on the Neverwinter Nights community update. That was it. So I think that... where'd it go?
I'm not the brave soul who is willing to download the beta patches, especially for either. Existing games. I wait until everybody else complains.
Rob McGinnis' only post for the Neverwinter Nights 2 community update was in regards to patch 1.12. Evidently, there's been some stuff going on. He was out for a week, so it was a real light light week on information. But most of the things they had listed on, or the one most things they had listed for fixes that were going to go in patch 1.12. Are marked greens. I mean, there's quite a few of them that they're either have fixed or are almost complete with. So it's going to be going beta anytime soon, and then those beta groups will be able to start tearing those things apart and see when that thing gets released to everybody. So.
And we have new links to us, and three of them are modders who are going to be on the panel.
Yep, and then the other one is from the Academy of Modding Excellence, which we appreciate. So,
awesome. And that would be so... I can't pronounce this for the life of me. I swear I'm going to have to ask you when we are on the panel. Zolvheel.blogspot.com, and he has already released part one of the series, and part two is getting released very soon. And Dalek... and Lady Elvenstar, all three are going to be on the panel on the 10th. Which they all have really good stuff coming. I also found I guess I should have put this in the show notes, but I found a custom content blog where a person is working on custom content.
Oh, very cool.
I do have that bookmarked, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, we'll get that in the show notes.
Yeah. His name is... Brian Sense, Neverwinter Nights 2 blog, and it is all about customizing characters and areas and everything else, and he's done quite a bit of work, and it's pretty interesting. It's a pretty interesting blog, so we'll get that out on the show notes.
And even though Trey is still in Thailand and hasn't made it back yet, before he left, he got the opportunity to sit down with Skunk King and do an interview, and as we announced at the beginning of the show, Skun King is the Neverwinter Connections 2007 Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master. So let's let Trey take us and see what's going on with Skun King.
Rich and poor man living in Lord of Bangtan.
Living in the cruise. Show will leave you bored.
Leave you bored.
I'm so bored.
Massive goodies. Got to be a trial of war. Up useful
plans
and half the DM team off in Disneyland.
I have with us tonight the Neverwinter Nights Connection 2007 Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master and the Dungeon Master Hall of Fame inductee for April 2007, Skunkeen. Dungeen Master Skunkeen has been a Dungeon Master since 1990 with HeroQuest and Dragon Strike board games. He discovered Forgotten Realms with Baldur's Gate. He immediately bought Neverwinter Nights upon its release in 2002 and has been a Dungeon Master ever since. Welcome to the show, Skunking. How's it going?
Ahoy there, and thank you.
Glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Astonishing to get on this show.
Well, as I mentioned already, a little about your background. Why don't you tell us a little, in your own words, how you became a Dungeon Master?
Well, I was reluctant to add this into my Neverwinter Connections bio, but growing up, me and my brother, we both collected comic books until they became too costly for us to afford on our meager allowances. And then we ended up getting the Marvel Superhero RPG system, and that way we were able to continue the stories of all our favorite heroes and whatnot and play it with all the neighborhood kids, and went on from there until like 1990 when Dragon Strike and HeroQuest came out, and played that until everybody was, you know, too old to play video games. We all went into college and whatnot and didn't do that. And Neverwinter Nights comes out and I get to do all this again, you know, that I had fun with as growing up.
Yeah. I tell you, the video games bring the kid out in us, don't they?
Oh yes, yes. It's great. Especially with role players. Be able to relive some imagination.
Cool. Okay, so your stats on the Neverwinter Connection lists you as a DM level 4 with a DM title of Exemplary Storyteller of the Inner Sanctum. So what exactly do these levels and titles mean?
I'm honestly not 100% sure. I know there's like a list of different levels for the DM, but the percentage, I believe that all comes from when the players go back to the page that they signed up for the event session.
Uh-huh.
And if they're inspired to do so, they could review and rate the players and the DM. And then after they do that, I guess it somehow gets tallied into a score. Now, like myself, I don't have 100% because I get a lot of complaints about my how much I reward treasure and whatnot. I don't give out like +3 long swords without a good event or quest behind it relating to such a weapon of power, where some, you know, storytellers and sessions might, you know, find out, you know, this meager, easy loot to give out, but I really keep things challenging, you know, by not giving out a whole bunch of epic treasure.
You don't want to make it too easy on them, right?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
So you're not sure what the Inner Sanctum is then? I guess that's probably just a title that they've chosen for Dungeon Masters.
No, but it sounds pretty wicked, like, you know, it'd be like a little center with a bunch of monks or something, you know, just like chanting, oh, DM.
He's a member of the Inner Sanctum. Okay, so tell us what playing under the great DM Skunkin is like.
I would like to be the Marquis de Sade of a social server DM, but no, my players like to remind me of limitations. But I do not exceed the ESRB rating for teen for teen. The T for teen rating is a lot different than the PG-13 movie rating, where, you know, a lot of morality story-wise can be done a little bit more extreme with text readings than what there can be with visuals. You know, like if I was to take the blue bird of happiness and rip off its head and chuck it over the rainbow of happiness, you know, that you don't actually see that happening. It's just, right. You know, it's all just text. And, you know, I'm I just tell stories. You just get the event going on and get the game on. And
so what was one of your favorite role-playing sessions that you can share with us?
I have quite a few of them that I've done. It's really hard for me to single them out. I try to do some of the pen and paper conversions sometimes, and converting some of those to Neverwinter Nights prove unsuccessful, and some of them really great. But it's really hard for me to single out a top adventure that I ended up running through. I usually favor the ones where I do things that a lot of people don't expect that can be done with Neverwinter Nights. Like, I've had a story where I've turned people into a bunch of spirits. I'll spare you the long, climax up leading up to that. But they couldn't do anything physically in the game. They couldn't touch nothing, just only do, like, meager whispers. And their only aid was this mimicking parrot that could faintly hear their whispers.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I did another one where I've had, like, some mass destruction thing at a port pier. I do a lot of seafaring adventures, and these magical explosives were confiscated by the city that the heroes ended up putting an end to the destruction of the pier port. Well, once it got into the city, it blew up the city, and word got out of this this new magical power of explosives, and it ended up leading to the destruction of Faerun, and so the players ended up getting a greeting from one of them from the future, which is pretty neat to do. You could do that with the DMFI tools and do an exact copy of the player, and they were like, "Oh, what? That's me," And
cool.
And I just say that, "Oh yeah, because you did this and that, the whole world's going to be destroyed and bring on the apocalypse and all that." And so they had to go back in time to stop themselves from completing the mission. And then once they did that, all the promise of treasure and all that for doing the mission was all came in void when they returned to the balance of nature and time, where they never ended up going back in time because they stopped themselves and didn't have to do that. So they just, diminished through their existence.
Huh.
Pretty deep.
That sounds pretty cool. So did everyone enjoy that one pretty well?
Yeah, except for they didn't get no treasure.
Oh, no. All right, so do you have a preference as to the types of players that can play your stories, or is it just about anybody?
Just about everybody. I'm willing to teach the DMFI dice bag tools, to new players, because I use a lot of those in my game sessions. And everybody's real friendly, willing to help anybody new to role-playing and whatnot, and the different type of storytelling than what's expected, from action servers. It's just not a hack-and-slash adventure. It's really interactive, and players are really, we're all welcome.
Oh, cool. Are there any types of players that you are kind of your favorites?
Yeah, the Munchkin players and the clone players, those usually die within the first 2 minutes.
Like halflings and things like that.
Yeah, no, like Driss. If I see Driss, log into my events, he usually dies pretty quick.
Okay, you're calling a person out. Okay.
No, Driss is like a Forgotten Realms hero from the novels.
Oh, okay.
Like when people end up taking characters from already in the books instead of creating their character.
Yes.
So I usually kill off them, and just kind of ignore their existence in my event. So just create your own character and make something, pretty logical. I mean, you're not a lizard from the land of Oz, those people die too pretty quick on adventures. I don't know why these big boulders fall out of the sky.
That's great. So don't pretend to be a snake or something,
Yeah. Be one of the common races and you'll have fun. But maturity, is a big thing too, because I do like to test a lot of the moralities of situations, because that's what really motivates people to end up you know, going through the storyline or even, you know, altering the storyline quite a bit is when there's an extreme situation, you know, whether it's harsh or really good, it could influence the characters that are good characters of good alliances or of evil alliances. So you always got to have, like, you know, either something massively good that will annoy the evils and something, you know, massively evil that will annoy the goods. And some role players can't, you know, like I said with the ESRB ratings, you know, when they, you know, role players have the greatest imagination, you know, so when you type this out, you know, some of them will believe that they're actually seeing this, you know, when you're not, the blue bird of happiness is still alive and well out there outside your window. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay, so you also DM as a DM named Kong Fu. So what is it like playing with this DM? Is he your alter ego?
No. My DM handles are usually a deity of the Forgotten Realms, whatever is available. But DM Kung Fu is just, you know, saying like it's a martial arts to DM, because I've studied well and long and have been able to do some of the things I do. I've read everything that I possibly could get my hands on for Neverwinter Nights DMing, and I've read a lot of the forums. Neverwinter Connections forums is great amount of information for DMing. You want to talk about DM Kung Fu, those guys know their Kung Fu. I've read a lot of the DM's bios on Neverwinter Connections, and I read their forum posts and all the questions that other people ask and all that, and there's just so much out there, and that's how you hone your skills for being a powerful dungeon master.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I guess I misunderstood when I was reading your bio there. I guess I thought that was another DM name that you went by, so I apologize.
Well, that's a good idea. I might make a DM.
I thought, okay, so he also goes by Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Everybody will get a kick out of that, because, you know, everybody likes laughing at me anyway, so.
Welcome to the club. My handle's Skunkeen, you know, so people expect a clown of some sort.
Sometimes you go by Skunk, right?
Yep, yeah. This is Skunkeen, a.k.a. Skunk.
Okay, we'll use that title. Okay, when we exchange emails, you know, you told me that you would have some good stories for me, so hit us with one.
All right, well, I hear a lot of people talk about the Neverwinter Nights community, but, you know, just saying that alone doesn't, you know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, what all that consists of. You know, there's...
That's a good point.
And I'll end up pointing some of that out now. You could go into any forum with Neverwinter Nights and ask any question you want, no matter what it's about, a power build of a character, if it's about scripting, building in the tool set, or anything like that, and people will help you. People will either tell you what you need to know, or they will point you into the direction of what you need to know. And that's what makes the community for Neverwinter Nights so amazing and a lot different than other gaming communities out there. And a lot of people don't really, you know, they don't know that when you hear, oh, just Neverwinter Nights community. Okay, well, what is all that consists of? Because all these people are still doing tons and tons of different things for Neverwinter Nights, and everybody's extremely helpful to everyone. If it wasn't for all that, all the information for out there for Neverwinter Nights, I wouldn't even have this award. Story-wise, I can tell you some more things about my year in 2007 achieving this award. I started DMing with Neverwinter Nights right when it came out, and I hooked up with one of the first role-playing servers on the list, which was Aria. And when I went to Aria, I started learning a little bit more about online DMing and lingo and all that. And after a while, I was accepted as a DM for them, and I really loved it. I kicked off great with it. Well, I ended up leaving Aria to end up doing some other projects back then. And then I returned back to Aria in 2007, and it just got handed over to a nice fella. And we really had, like, really low numbers for a persistent world, but we really kicked that up a whole lot and brought a whole bunch of people in. That's mostly thanks to Neverwinter Connections, putting up your event sessions on that server. And it's Neverwinter Connections really spreads the word for your gaming community if you're doing a persistent world and all that, because it did wonders for us. And after that, I decided to end up doing my own PW and all that. But
which we're going to get into here in a little bit. So cool. Yeah, that the Neverwinter Connections, I remember when we first started the podcast, it was one of the first two or three sites that I found. Just when I was looking for information about Neverwinter Nights. Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed at how long it had been out there and everything that was going on there. So
I believe I seen you and the other
Jay.
Hubs. Yeah, do your events on there also.
Yes, we did. One of the first events that we did was with Bruce Nielsen, and that was fun. Actually our first DM session was with Bruce. We did one offline, and then we started scheduling them, and then we got into some with Galesburg, and those have been really fun. So,
now one of the biggest things that the Neverwinter Connection misses is that the Fleet Street team. I don't know if you ever heard of them. Fleet Street team. These guys, like back in like when Neverwinter Connections opened up, these guys ended up hosting online classes to teach the mechanics, and I didn't realize how lucky I was to get into their sessions, because they don't do their sessions much anymore, and I took their sessions, and that's what really helped me take off, running the mechanics, but they don't do their sessions much anymore, and those guys were great, the class was excellent, and all that.
Are those guys still around? Are they still around?
I don't think so. I don't know, but nobody ends up doing the hosted sessions anymore for just teaching the DM client, but that used to be a big thing on Neverwinter Connections, right. And it's dearly missed. Those guys are greatly
missed. Well, I know we've talked to Carlos One over at DMFI.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he has like a, DMing 101 module that I think that can teach you how to be a dungeon master. I've heard it's really good. It's like, I think it's ranked way up there on the vault, so.
Yeah, I didn't tell you about one of my other projects. I ended up asking Carlo One if it was cool if I ended up using his module in one of my videos that I've been working on for this year. I actually started on the video for about like 4 months ago, and it's like a DM tutorial for videos, and I ended up using his module in my video. I only got one module right up on YouTube right now, and I was still working on those videos. I got a couple more on my hard drive here, but
Cool.
I ended up getting switched over to, focusing on building some other things that, for my community of crew that I hang out with, and I had to really focus on something else right away. But in 2008, I'm definitely going to at least have about like 3 hours worth of videos. And Carlo One,
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. These are videos that will teach you how to be a dungeon master?
Yes, how to be a powerful dungeon master.
Sorry, a powerful dungeon master.
Yeah, but you could be DM Kung Fu. And, DMFI was real cool with it. They said anything that, anyone does for the education of storytelling and DMing, go for it, use anything from DM.
Come, DMFI, my young Padawan.
I was really honored, that.
Yeah, that's
it's cool.
Cool. So keep us informed of how that goes, and send me some links. If you said you already had some out there, send me links in an email, and I'll make sure we get those in the show notes as well.
Yeah, you just go to YouTube and type in Skunkine, and you'll
it'll
come up.
Cool.
Yeah, there's only one up there right now, but I'll have more.
Okay, so quoting from your stats page on Neverwinter Connection, you say, I've made a good habit of detailing senses of smells and visuals that can't be done in-game. So what exactly do you mean there?
All right. Trey, you walk into a tomb. A gust of foul wind blows into your face, and the scent of death of this tomb is strange. So strange it reminds you of an old woman's foot. Now, this is where I would also, pause the game, or something. I would use the sound wand from the DMFI tools, and I'd put, a groaning sound in the background.
Dude.
And then I would type in, far in the distance, you see a figure approaching. dragging something. And I could end up pausing here, you know, if I ever get behind on my typing, to give you a little story dialogue for as you go through the gameplay. As Trey gets near the zombie, and I hit the pause button long enough to type stuff, and it's dragging its intestines along the floor from an opening in its belly. When the zombie notices you, it drops its intestines on the floor and focuses its glare upon you. The intestines weakly burst open on the floor, spilling ooze and bile that you instantly smell a stronger taint of death. Depending on your character's persona, if I know your character, if I had a bio, if I know your character's kind of squeamish or anything like that, I would, you know, I could make you visually vomit in game. And, you know, I could end up creating an attack delay, you know, on you, but you don't have nothing to fear because zombies move kind of slow and all that. So you'll have plenty of time to wipe the chunks on your cheeks, you know.
Okay, yes, I smelled that, especially when you said the old woman's foot.
So that's a good idea of how, you know, I could describe, you know,
amazing
visuals and senses and whatnot and give you...
That's cool. Okay, changing gears a little. Okay, I see that you're working... Or, well, I saw when I was researching to get some information, you know, to create these questions, I saw that you were working on a persistent world, the Sea of Fallen Stars. So it sounds pretty cool because some of my buddies at work were kind of into pirates and things like that. We like stuff like that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it? And I know on your website it said it's the largest, or it will be, the largest Neverwinter Nights at Sea persistent world. That sounds very interesting.
Yep. Now this is one heck of a massive challenge. There's been so many attempts in the past by other people to end up making a Sea of Falling Stars setting. Now what really makes this hard is throughout the years, you know, there's been limitations on what hack files been released and what scripts, you know, have been developed and pioneered. And especially this wouldn't be possible without some of the newer hacks from especially like the Community Creature Project. If you've heard of that,
they got some
great new stuff in that. Oh,
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we mentioned that like I think two or three episodes ago.
Yeah, it's great
came out
stuff.
Because they came out with a new version of that or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go on.
Now, like things like the Dragon Turtle, these are things that are native to the Sea of Falling Stars, and they're pretty common around there. Now, before that hack pack came out, you know, such a location wouldn't be able to be done without true justice. And also with the RDC tile sets, and Worms has a great tile set list. I don't know if you ever heard of his hack tile sets, but those things look just like Neverwinter Nights 2 stuff being done on Neverwinter Nights 1.
Oh wow.
And
this is going to be a Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world though, right? Or
no, Neverwinter Nights 1.
Oh, it's going to be 1. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and there's like we're hoping to end up getting the animation ship control down.
Uh-huh.
There's a fella named Ghetto Smurf that made like an animation script for controlling ships. Now I'm trying to expand on that, doing like, you know, some multiplayer party combat at sea battle system with that.
Oh yeah.
And also thanks to the Community Creature Pack, they got some ships in there as creatures that I could end up using for a lot of this animation, to where things will be visually controlled, where you could actually sail the ship, you know, through the water.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
So, yeah, you could actually control the ship as you move along in the water. But, you know, all these things wouldn't be possible until now with such a persistent world.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, pretty hack-heavy, but if you got a cable connection, it could take about, 30 to an hour... 3 minutes to an hour to download all the hacks, which that's pretty extensive to some, but, you know, to a modern-day pirate, that wouldn't be nothing.
Modern-day pirate. Arrgh! Download those files, mateys.
Plunder all the booty you can.
That sounds very interesting. So let me see if I understand this. So it'll totally be at sea. So the only way you'll be able to move around would be in a ship, right? So you're you're going to be a ship. Or I assume there'll probably be islands and land, I guess.
Mm-hmm, and quite a few inland locations.
Okay.
My partner in crime, Elvendark, he's going to be hosting some events with the module based in Shadowdale, which is a little bit far from the Sea of Falling Stars, and it's located up north into the Dale Lands. And this is like a farming community, and how, like, a lot of these, you know, like obscure places, you know, but it really relates to the Sea of Falling Stars because a lot of ships, you know, they carry, you know, stuff like farming goods and all that to be sold to other places. So, you know, pirates robbing other ships for food isn't an uncommon thing, you know, even in real life old history. So it's going to be the same thing, you know, in here dealing with pirates, you know, plundering, you know, all the,
right,
you know, merchant ships of goods for, of all types.
So where you be getting the idea for this persistent world, Addy?
Horror, that be right, ye old salt. For too long, these scurvy landlubbers of the realms had their due coming to them after I raised the black flag and plundered their blue booty. Most of my events have all had a relation to the sea and sailing, okay, even with the limitations of what, you know, whatnot. But I don't think anybody else has, like, a devoted swashbuckling setting, and especially since doing, like, a Forgotten Realms, which is the natural setting for Neverwinter Nights, and doing, you know, having a swashbuckling and mixing those together is
right,
something that I'm sure anybody else does out there in, like, a true hardcore setting.
Cool. I think we'll be looking forward to that, so keep us informed on that, how it goes.
Sure thing.
I'll make sure we watch your forums, too.
All right.
It says you'll have a wicked brew of trained DMs.
Mm-hmm. Now, even though I'm fairly new to the Neverwinter Connections, because I only started using it this year, but I've been in Neverwinter Nights ever since its release, and I've trained quite a few other DMs that still keep in touch with me,
uh-huh,
and they're still currently DMing on other places and doing their own sessions right now. That I've taught these guys, and they're great. I'll okay, cool, gladly name them off, like Solo, Elven Dark, but he's my partner right now, and J2K. And
that's your crew.
Yeah, my God, Wicked Brew crew. Yeah, and these guys, they're pretty rowdy. You check them out on our Ventrilo chat server, which the information's on the front page.
Okay.
And they're pretty... They're known to break out into, like, a dancing piratey song here and there.
So sing really one for us. Sing one for us. Come on.
Now, some pirate and sea shanties have some little mature things to them, you know. So.
All right. He's not going to sing for us.
You don't. Oh, I'll gladly sing, but you don't want a sea shanty. You don't want it. You'll have to change the rating to your show and get the ESRB to know that. Okay. What rates the audios and all that?
There is a rating on, well, there's a rating on iTunes, I think, that you can put on there. I think it says explicit, I think, is what you put on there if it has.
Yeah, even without using vulgar words, a lot of piratey and sea shanty songs are kind of little vulgar, and on my website, you're more than welcome to, if you register, I have a pirate radio station. It's not like, you know, like stealing piratey radio station. It's like, you know, real pirate songs in my radio station, and these are songs that are like as old as like Row, Row, Row Your Boat, you know. So if I, and especially, you know, me dealing with pirates, if they want to get on me for that, I'll just hunt them down and gut them. So. You don't want to mess with a pirate if you got a problem with my radio station.
Don't mess with the skunk.
Captain Skunk.
Captain Skunk, sorry. So are you looking for more pirates to join up and help? And if so, how do they contact you?
You know, they get off their scurvy arse and they register at my website. And they end up visiting in and they say what traits they're interested in. Now, like I mentioned before, I've been doing videos. Lately, I've been doing tool set videos that pertain to the module that we're working on. So it's not really open-ended for, you know, tool set building in general. It's pretty much specific right to our own module. So I won't be releasing that to the public, but you could still learn some bits that you could use for whatever you want to if you just want to, you know, use me as a stepping stone or whatever. That's fine, but I'll... they just end up going in there, say what their interests are and what kind of talents that they have. I got quite a few new builders working with me right now, just retouching up areas. There's so much. The tool set's not as complex as a lot of people make it out to be. It's, you know, I got videos that show you, you know, how to do things, you know.
Right.
Within there, it's easy. You just got to have the time and patience just to watch and learn.
Yeah, that time is a big factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully I speeded up some folks.
So when is your this module going to be released? You're still working on it, right?
Yeah, still working on it. But we're doing events in it here real soon, like at the starting of next month.
So in a month or so, you'll have an official kickoff or something like that?
Yeah, in 2 weeks from now.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the listeners before we sign off?
Well, if there's anybody that's seeking, like anyone, to do some voice acting for their module, please give me a holler. I hope that you invite me to your show again after I complete a lot of my goals for 2008 with Neverwinter Nights. I'd like to quickly thank a lot of my devoted players that helped me become the Grand DM for the year. I'll try to be fast. I'd like to thank Warchild, Power Lord, Scales of Justice, Era Euros, Isla, Prate, Rob, Astral Angel, Solo, David Sorcid, Last Larissa, Kenny 26, Talcora, Lauren, Dream West, Elrandi, Azaline, Matches, Alex B, Shadow Prick, Zach Dine, Stormwell, Nebulai, Canebo, J2K, Caliban, and anyone else for their good references on me and the Sea of Falling Stars.
Cool. I was going to ask you another question that I didn't put on here that I kind of just thought of. So when you do your DM sessions, is there a certain module that you use, that you like to use for that, or is it one of your own, or I guess the question is, what module is your favorite that you like to use?
Well, even when DMing with other Persistent Worlds, I'm pretty good at creating new areas for my events and all that, and I'm fairly good in the tool set. So even with my, I love doing Persistent Worlds the most, aside from just making modules. Because with doing Persistent Worlds, you know, I could actually see and interact with people more, you know, not just because of the DM thing, but I could see people's reactions to the areas that I built more than I could, you know, just put it up on the internet, on the vault, and, you know, people download it and I just don't hear nothing from them. I like the interaction and all that. It's great to hear, you know, what people think of it, but I'm mostly, DM on PWs. I'm a PW DM.
Okay. Is there a certain Persistent World that you're DMing on now?
I would like to end up getting with Nigilus PW. He has the World of Calrador. That's an awesome place. I've been gaming with him for a while, doing the Pool of Radiance adventures that y'all should check out. It's great. And I'd like to hop on, just do a couple events with them for a little bit. And then Aria, which has been pretty much one of the longest role-playing servers. I DM'd on there quite a bit. That place has a nice spot in my heart. It's like one of the oldest servers for Neverwinter Nights, and it's kind of like it's a fond place for me. But I'm wanting to do the things with the Sea of Falling Stars now and devote, you know, my future with Neverwinter Nights all to that.
And, cool. All right, I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
I wouldn't miss this for the world. It's astonishing to be on your show.
Well, we got a lot of feedback from the last episode. Another great round of feedback, and some of it was kind of self-inflicted. We did remove the player on our website for a while, and I apologize for those people that were using it, but there is some method to our madness. We have been looking for ways to speed up the downloads or get a better bandwidth for those people that are using podcatchers that are downloading our episodes. One of those options was to move the MP3 files to a different server. We found out through an experiment that by doing that, the player doesn't work with those files that are hosted on another server. Dave had some great recommendations on things we could try, and we did try some of those. Unfortunately, they didn't work out for us. So what we were trying to do was we decided, well, we don't know who's using the player, so we'll turn it off for this one episode and see what happens. It's kind of a playbook from the IT world. If you can't really identify all the users of a system, you turn it off and see who screams. And, well, we had some people scream, so again, I apologize for that. We did get it back on there, and it will stay on. We do have hopes of working with the team that developed the player module that we use and hopefully get that working so that it can use the remote location to stream that audio from. While I'm talking about that, I don't know how many of you guys are up to date on what podcasting and what podcatchers can do for you, because one of the reasons given for using the player on the site was that they didn't want to have to wait for the download to their machine to listen to the MP3 file. Well, if you have a podcatcher, which there are several of them, and I posted some links to some in a comment to the last episode, and actually we're currently writing one ourselves, so we will have a Neverwinter Nights podcatcher available real soon. These things sit in your PC and download them for you, and if you're using something like iTunes, which I know everybody doesn't use, but if you're using something like iTunes and you have an iPod, it can actually automatically send it to your MP3 player for you as well. So you just get up in the morning and unjack it from your system and go off and listen to it with your headphones or whatever. So I highly recommend checking into that if it's something you guys can look at. I know our friends in some of the European countries get charged by the kilobyte of download times, and listening to it online may be more cost effective for you, and I completely understand that and empathize with that. So if it's not a fit for you, I totally understand. We will be leaving the player on there and hoping to find better ways to facilitate faster downloads for those people that are downloading it. So again, we apologize.
If you have enjoyed the show and would like to help out, we recommend clicking on the PayPal donate link on our website. Placing a few gold pieces into the coffers will go a long way in supporting our efforts.
And for our next episode, we will either have another interview that Michelle has done
by Domi Soto of Bishop's Romance.
Right. Or we will have the Ossian Studios Mysteries of Westgate interview. It just depends on the timing of that. So either way, you've got two great interviews going to be coming up the next two episodes. So don't go anywhere. Well, unless maybe you have to go to work or to the bathroom or get something to eat or something like that. Stay tuned. That's it for this episode. And until next time,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. Or by email at show@NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2008.